Thank you, Lord, for creating us. You created us in your image and likeness, Lord, your divine image and likeness. Lord, thank you. And Lord, even after we fell, you sent your son, Jesus, to redeem us and to bring us back to you. You wouldn't want to have heaven without us, Lord. That's how much you loved us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for walking with us every day of our life. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time of praise and worship. May you be glorified in everything that we do and say, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So.
My great pleasure to introduce this next speaker.
who has been leading us in worship all day long, and finish up with the last talk here today. Paul is the father of 6 children, 3 boys, 3 girls, and 20 grandchildren. He is a very active member of Presentation Ministries for over 30 years. He has been the editor of One Bread, One Body for many years. He's been the praise and worship leader and past director of PM. He's active and supportive of many other ministries, very supportive in outreach ministries, part of his home-based community. And it's my pleasure to introduce to you Paul Egan, who will speak on the Catholic Church in the Book of Blessing. Catholic Church in the Book of Blessing. So let's extend our hands and pray for Paul. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for this man of God, Lord. We ask that he stands strong in you, Lord Jesus. His strength is from you. Everything that he is comes from you, Lord. And Lord, he acknowledges that in everything that he does. And Lord, we ask that your anointing would fall fresh upon him. Lord, allow him to be strengthened mentally, physically, spiritually. Allow him to be strengthened so that he can deliver this talk, the words that you have given him in his heart to be proclaimed to us. And Lord, may we receive the blessings that he is proclaiming. Lord, that we be thirsty for those blessings. Satan, you have no power, no authority here. We command you bound to the foot of the cross where Jesus will take care of the situation. Mother Mary, again, wrap your mantle of protection upon him. Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael, protect us as we listen to these words. And Holy Spirit, again, fresh in him in every way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. So this is our final talk in the series on healing, miracles, spiritual gifts. And the title of this talk is The Catholic Church and the Book of Blessings. So I'd like to, even though we've prayed, I'd like to begin with another prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are fundamentally a God of blessings, a God of love, a God who reaches out to your children. Bless each one of us. Stir up the gifts of the Holy Spirit within us. Bless us. Help us to always seek to be in the position of receiving a blessing and always to be away from the position of being cursed. Jesus, I praise you. I thank you. You took on the curses of sin for us. You took on the curse of being nailed to a tree, being hung on a tree, so that we could be blessed. So I ask you to, Holy Spirit, to bring to my mind those words that you would want me to say and erase from my mind those words that you would not want me to say. Help anything that is of you to be heard by the audience and those on the recording. Grant that many healings would flow out of this entire seminar. And this we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, the healer. Amen.
Amen.
Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. I'm a daddy. I have 6 kids and I'm a daddy and I love it. It's a lot of fun. And I was blessed to be able to hear and appreciate the concept of blessing even before my first one was born. My oldest is 42 and my youngest is 27. So, It's been fun, and some of my most precious memories is of being a daddy, and 6 kids is a lot of kids to put to bed at night, and to always just to be able to bless them, to go up to them and just actually literally touch them and bless them right on their forehead, and usually most of the time, especially when they were younger, I wouldn't bless them until they were already under the covers in bed. That was kind of like, because they like that. They like to be blessed by their father, just like we like to be blessed by our father. So as I got older, their bedtime was a little bit later than mine as I got older. So I would just bless them as they were sitting on the couch or something in TV. But they still, even now, if I go visit my kids, none of them live with me, but even now they like to be blessed by their daddy. So I loved blessing my children. I could see the difference, the peace that would just come over them. And mother's blessed too. I don't mean to just say that it's something that a father can do, but I was blessed to be in that position. I loved it and still do. So we have a father, a God who blesses. And part of the healing process is blessing. There are several different methodologies of healing. We have healing of the heart. There's Unbound, and it always ends with the Father's blessing, God the Father's blessing, because that's what he is. He is a God who blesses, who speaks words of blessings. What father would give his children a snake if he asks for an egg? Luke 11:11. Our Father is a God who wants to bless us. So from One Bread, One Body, last year, June chapter 8, 2020, our founder, Father Al Lauer, wrote a teaching called What Are Blessings? And it was the reading for that particular day, the gospel reading was the Beatitudes, blessed are, you know, all of the Beatitudes. So he taught on that. The Beatitudes are eight, and I'm reading from this teaching. The Beatitudes are eight circumstances in which we receive exceptional blessings. The Beatitudes are keys to living a life of blessing and of being a blessing. That's from Genesis 12:2. Abraham was, God told him he would be a blessing to the nations. So I want my kids to be a blessing to this world. Consequently, Father says, we may surmise that people would strongly desire to live the Beatitudes. Who wouldn't want to be blessed? You know, yet, that is not the case. He continues, part of the problem is that few people know how great blessings are because they do not understand well the meaning of blessings. Many people think that blessings are prayers for good things to happen. No, blessings are not prayers from us to God, but blessings are from God to us and through us. Therefore, we are to bless only those to whom we have been authorized by God to bless at the time and at the circumstances God has authorized. All blessings come from God. Blessings are creations by God, for when God speaks, he creates. Remember the very beginning of the Bible? God spoke and it was made. The stars, the sun, the sea, the plants, the animals, and particularly humans, men and women. God spoke and it was made. It was a blessing that came from his speaking. Father continues, so blessings, Beatitudes, are very important. The blessings at the end of Mass and in the other sacraments have the potential to recreate the world. I'm going to read that again. The blessings at the end of Mass and in the other sacraments have the potential to recreate the world. It is God speaking through the priest at the end of Mass, through the in the sacrament, God speaking and blessing. Parents deprive their children of new life if they would fail to bless them daily, Father says. For those who understand blessing, benediction of the Blessed Sacrament, is recognized as God creating. Don't you love it when there's a benediction, when the priest takes that alt, that Eucharist, and it just goes like this? Father says, that is God creating. Just all of, he speaks words of blessings, but just emanating from that blessed sacrament are blessings. Blessings are creations of God, Father summarizes. Live the Beatitudes. And they all say, blessed are you, or another translation, happy are you. We were fortunate at my parish, St. Gertrude's in Madeira, I think it was last year, a new priest who was actually a son of the parish was newly ordained. And he hadn't been, I can't remember, you were there too at the first Mass, Father Jonah Teller. There was, when he finished the Mass, because it was the parish he grew up in, and you'll see this if you ever go to an ordination as well, Father Jonah was standing outside of Mass and there was this long line and I was in it. And there's a tradition of a newly ordained priest blessing people and receiving their first blessings or their initial blessings. There's great power in that. And people seem to understand that. But the blessing of a priest doesn't get any weaker as he goes on. Father Ben this morning at Mass said, you know, he's now a priest for 18, going on 18 years. And his blessing is still just as strong. I don't know the theology behind the blessings of a newly ordained priest, but I have to believe that the blessing is just as powerful. So there is a war going on. I'll talk about it in a few minutes, between blessings and curses. And God wants to bless us. He's our daddy who wants to bless us. And at the end of Mass, I've been a music minister for 44 years or whatever. And I see it because I'm up in front of the congregation. During the communion song, there's a, Scott Hahn calls this the Judas Shuffle, but people come up for communion and then are right out the side door. And I don't mean to criticize that because some people have jobs that they have to get to right away. And there are factors, but what we're missing if we don't stay for the blessing. God is speaking a word of blessing. He's a good, good Father. He wants to bless us. And do we want to receive that blessing? So I just exhort, encourage you to whatever you do. I mean, I'm a music minister, so I'm saying this on behalf of all music ministers. I would rather you stay and receive the Father's blessing at the end of Mass and then peel out of there before the closing song. I would, as a music minister, I would much rather have you receive the Father's blessing at the end of Mass. That's an incredible thing that you are receiving personally from the hand of his priest. You know, stay for the opening song if you can, the closing song, but the Father, what I'm trying to say is the Father's blessing at the end of Mass, may the Lord bless you, is so important. What is happening when the priest is blessing you at the end of Mass is God creating, God recreating, God giving you a blessing. There's plenty of things out there that Satan is trying to curse us. There's a lot in the world. I'm not in a hurry at the end of Mass to go out and face those attacks again, those curses. I'm happy to stay in there and be blessed. So on New Year's Day in the liturgy, we read from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26, and this is actually the Feast of Mary, Mother of God. But the first reading that day says, from Numbers 6, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord let his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you kindly and give you peace. That's very early. And Numbers is the fourth book of the Bible. At the very beginning, I had just said in Genesis 1, God spoke blessings. He spoke and it was made. In Numbers, that's how Moses was to bless. Moses and Aaron, the priests, were to bless the people. That the Lord bless and keep you, let his face shine upon you. That's the way they were supposed to bless the Israelites. There is some fascinating reading in the scriptures about blessings and curses. So the end result of prayers for healing is a blessing. The end result of a Mass is a blessing. That's kind of the goal, is to leave you with a blessing. And if you're able to receive that blessing and retain that blessing, wow, what healing comes out of that. So if you have a Bible, I'd like to invite you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 27, fifth book of the Bible. Deuteronomy 27 and 28 is what we'll go through. Pardon? Deuteronomy 27 and 28. This is a teaching from the scriptures on the blessing and the curse. I'm trying to present this to show that there is no neutrality from a blessing and a curse. When we miss out on a blessing, we're missing something very fantastic when we walk away from it. When we don't receive a blessing, scripture teaches that this is basically black and white. There's the blessing or the curse, and I have multiple scriptures to show this. So to encourage us to seek that blessing, because there's more than blessings out there, there's curses. And we are in danger. We have an opponent who's prowling throughout the world seeking the ruin of souls. I'm not trying to scare you, but I'm just trying to teach you what the scriptures say. So there was Deuteronomy is a book where Moses is basically, they're about to cross the promised land. They've been wandering in the desert for 40 years. And the Israelites are standing on the verge of crossing the Jordan River and going into the promised land. And Moses is trying to, number one, summarize all that they've learned in the 40 years in the desert. And number two, to instruct them on what kind of life are we going to live in the promised land, or we might say in the kingdom. So Moses had a ceremony in Deuteronomy 27 where he taught the people about curses and blessings. And he said, 27 verse 11 of Deuteronomy, Moses gave the people this order: when you cross the Jordan, six of the tribes of Israel will stand on Mount Gerizim to pronounce blessings over the people, while six other tribes will stand on Mount Ebal to pronounce curses. And I'm going to go over this a little bit, but to give you a little geography, y'all remember the story from John chapter 4, the woman at the well in Samaria, and she had five husbands, and Jesus came to the well. He was tired. He wanted a drink, and he said to this woman, give me a drink. And she gets into a conversation with him, and at one point in time, she says, Jesus, you're not greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well. We worship God on this mountain. Guess what mountain that is? It's in Samaria. It's a mountain called Mount Gerizim. And Jacob's well is at the foot of that mountain. That's the mountain where six of the tribes of Israel pronounced blessings. And then in the valley is Jacob's well, and on the other side is Mount Ebal. So the well is in the valley. There's these two mountains, Gerizim, the mountain of blessing, and Ebal, the mountain of cursing. So Moses said, do this, and they did do this. There's a passage in Joshua, I think it's chapter 8, where they recorded at least one time they did the ceremony. So the six tribes get up and they say, they proclaim, the Levites shall proclaim aloud to all the men of Israel. And there's from verse 15 to verse 26, all of these curses. I'll just give you a couple of samplings. Cursed be he who dishonors his father and mother, and all the people shall answer in a liturgical way, amen. Cursed be he who moves his neighbor's landmarks, and all the people shall answer, amen. So the Levites are up here pronouncing these curses. Six tribes are on the mountain of blessing, Gerizim. Six tribes are on the mountain of curses. Cursed be he who violates the rights of the alien, the orphan, and the widow, and all the people shall answer, amen. Thus then shall it be. This is 28 chapter 1. And they do the same thing with the blessings, and I'll read some of that, but this is just a wonderful verse, Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2. Thus then shall it be, if you continue to heed the voice of the Lord your God and are careful to observe all his commandments, which I enjoin on you today, the Lord your God will raise you high above all the nations of the earth. When you hearken to the voice of the Lord, when you do what he says, all these blessings will come upon you, verse 2, and overwhelm you. I'm going to read that again. When you hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, all these blessings will come upon you and overwhelm you. That's the kind of a God that we have. He doesn't just want to, like me blessing my kids. He just doesn't want to just limit his love and his blessings to just blessing you when you go down to sleep, as much as wonderful as that is. He says, all of these blessings, which I'm about to read, will come upon you and they will overwhelm you. So many times, I'm fairly new to the healing ministry, but Dave, Mary, Jane, Bunny, several others have been at it for a long time. And I've been at it enough to hear people say that I am overwhelmed with all of these problems and these issues. It's more than I can bear. I am overwhelmed with this. God's answer, Deuteronomy 28:2, when you hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, all these blessings will come upon you and overwhelm you. He wants to overwhelm us. I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel. I'm preaching a scriptural message. We have a God who wants to overwhelm us with blessings. So that ceremony with the curses on Mount Ebal and the blessings on Mount Gerizim was a way to show that there are conditions we must heed and hearken to the Lord's voice. And all the previous talks have done a very good job of saying the kinds of things that are necessary for us to be in the healing ministry, the kind of life that we need to live to receive God's blessings. He's trying to bless us, but Father Ben did a wonderful job saying it today. The Eucharist, even Father Benjamin said, is not a blessing if you're not disposed to receive it in the proper way. And he gave a very clear message. So God wants to bless us. He wants to overwhelm us with blessings. Do we in this room, me, do we in the church, do we in the world want those blessings? So some scriptural examples. If we forego the blessings, there's not a neutrality. It's not that we're left with nothing. Oh, we just didn't get a blessing, but that's all. We are actually choosing against the blessings. We may well be allowing curses to come to fill the void. So this is not my idea. Let's go on to Deuteronomy chapter 30. This is a verse that all of you are very, very familiar with. You've heard it many times. Many people have it on plaques. So Moses, after the ceremony of blessings and curses, Moses kind of sums it up. I'm going to go back to chapter 30, verse 15 of Deuteronomy. Here then I have today set before you life and prosperity, death and doom, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I enjoin on you today, loving him and walking in his ways and keeping his commandments, statutes, and decrees, you will live and grow numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to occupy. If, however, verse 17, you turn away your hearts and will not listen, but are led astray and adore and serve other gods, I tell you now that you will certainly perish. You will not have a long life on the land which you are crossing the Jordan to enter and occupy. And here's the verse. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth today to witness against you. I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Choose life then, that you and your descendants may live, by loving the Lord your God, heeding his voice, and holding fast to him. For that will mean long life for you to live on the land which the Lord swore that he would give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So that's interesting to hear that passage after having received that background. I have set before you life and death. I have set before you the blessing and the curse. And imagine if you're an Israelite standing in that valley and there's a mountain of curses, and then there's a mountain of blessing. I have set before you the blessing and the curse. Choose, the very next word, choose. What do you want? Choose life that you may live. Choose the blessing, choose the curses. They're both trying to fall upon you. What do you choose? So this is straight from scripture. Job is a good example of a battle between blessings and curses. And you know the story of Job, how he lost pretty much everything except his wife. He didn't lose his wife. And what did, after losing all of his children, all of his property, his businesses, camels, oxen, etc., but he didn't lose his wife. And what did his wife say to him? His wife said, altogether, if you remember, curse God and die. Curse. That's what Job's wife said to him. Curse God and die. And does anybody remember what Job said in response to that? The Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So Job's wife said, curse God. Job said, no, I'm going to bless God. Blessed be his holy name. So there's another example of, I have set before you the blessing and the curse. Choose, choose, choose. There's a kind of a humorous, but also a very serious, in Numbers chapter 22, there's a guy named Balaam. I think his name is pronounced Balaam, but I'm going to use the word pronunciation Balaam. So the king Balak hired Balaam. He was a professional curser. That's what he did. And he was apparently pretty good at it, good enough to get paid, make a living at cursing people. And apparently he got results. Otherwise, why would you pay the guy to curse him? So King Balak, who the Israelites are camped in the desert and pretty close to King Balak's territory. And so he wants to curse these Israelites because there's a lot of them. And he can see that they're being blessed. He hires Balaam. Balaam comes riding on a donkey to curse the Israelites. And you may know this story, but basically the donkey three times sees an angel and keeps turning off the road, and Balaam just beats the donkey. And finally, the donkey comes, the road just goes down a closed path with high walls, and the donkey has to walk. And there's this angel with a sword, and the donkey can see it, and Balaam can. And I'm going to kind of read that because it's interesting about blindness and determination to pursue the curse rather than the blessing. Excuse me. The angel of the Lord, Numbers 22:26. I'll go back. 22:24. Then the angel of the Lord took his stand in a narrow lane between vineyards with a stone wall on each side. When the ass on which Balaam was riding saw the angel of the Lord there, she shrank against the wall. And since she squeezed Balaam's leg against it, he beat her again. The angel of the Lord then went ahead and stopped next in a passage so narrow that there was no room to move either to the right or to the left. When the ass saw the angel of the Lord there, she cowered under Balaam. So in anger, he beat the ass again with his stick. But now the Lord opened the mouth of the ass. And she asked Balaam, now this is a donkey talking to him. This is kind of it's a humorous story, but it also shows that we are determined to pursue curses. If we don't pursue a blessing, we will go after the curse. And that's what Balaam was doing. The Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and the donkey asked Balaam, talking to her, what have I done to you that you should beat me these three times now? And instead of Balaam like falling on the ground, what, the donkey's talking to me? He's so angry that you have acted so willfully against me, said Balaam to the ass, that if I had a sword in hand, I would kill you here and now. But the ass said to Balaam, am I not your own beast, and have you not always ridden upon me until now? Have I been in the habit of treating you this way before? No, replied Balaam. Then the Lord removed the veil from Balaam's eyes, and he saw too that the angel of the Lord was standing on the road with a sword drawn, and he fell on his knees and bowed to the ground. The angel of the Lord said to Balaam, why have you beaten your ass these three times? It is I who have come armed to hinder you, because this rash journey of yours is directly opposed to me. And then the angel goes on to say, you can go with King Balak and all his troops, but you may only say what I tell you. And it goes on to say that on three different occasions, Balaam was called to the mountaintop with the king next to him to curse the Israelites, and he couldn't get it out of his mouth. He couldn't do it. The three times he blessed them instead. And so this king calls a professional curser to curse them, and instead it gets powerful blessings instead of the Israelites get blessed. He gets defeated. This is serious stuff. Remember in Mark chapter 5, the Lord cast out demons from a guy who lived in the tombs, bound with chains and fetters. Jesus says, what is your name? And they said, Legion. Jesus cast out all these demons. They begged him, can we go out into the swine? Jesus lets them go into the swine, and the whole herd of swine just ran down and were killed. What happened? The townspeople come over to where Jesus, and they see this guy who's been in tombs, who has closed the road. There's a whole road that couldn't be traveled because this guy was so violent. And Jesus opened that road again. Now we've got transport. We can have trade and commerce. We can get from here to there. The Gadarene people did not want that. They begged Jesus to leave the town. They chose the curse instead of the blessing. We can choose the curse and the going after the blessing, seeking the blessing is extremely important. So anyway, so how does the church use blessing? The church uses blessing in many ways. The blessing at the end of Mass, at the end of the sacraments, there's blessings. There's a book called the Book of Blessings, which are various blessings for almost any kind of blessing you would need. And another book for lay people, Catholic Household Blessings and Prayers, that have blessings for just about every possible circumstance you can look for. So in the Book of Blessings, for example, and many of these are only by priests and deacons, but there are some of these that can be used by lay people as well. Blessings of religious articles, rosaries, new church doors, a new lectern, blessing for the holy oil, blessing for tools and equipment for work, if you have a lot of worker guys, blessings of boats and fishing gear, and blessing of a gymnasium, fields and flocks, a new seminary, students and teachers, all kinds of blessings that can be used. So I'm going to go through just a couple of simple ones that are valid for lay people to do. So blessings of those gathered at a meeting. So we are gathered at a meeting. So I will lead these. There's directions. If you're a lay person, there's directions of what you can and cannot do. So I'm not trying to take the place of a priest. These are valid. So blessings pertaining to people gathered at a meeting. So it begins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
We stand before you, Holy Spirit, conscious of our sinfulness, but aware that we gather in your name. Come to us, remain with us, and enlighten our hearts. Give us light and strength to know your will and to make it our own and to live it in our lives. Guide us by your wisdom. Support us by your power, for you are God, sharing the glory of Father and Son. You desire justice for all. Enable us to uphold the rights of others. Do not allow us to be misled by ignorance or corrupted by fear or favor. Unite us to yourselves in the bond of love and keep us faithful to all that is true. As we gather in your name, may we temper justice with love, so that all our decisions may be pleasing to you and earn the reward promised to good and faithful servants. You live and reign with the Father and the Son, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, by the light of your Holy Spirit, you have taught the hearts of your faithful. In the same Spirit, help us to relish what is right and always rejoice in your consolation. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
How many of you drove your car here? Raise your hand. I didn't. A blessing of travelers. Excuse me, a blessing for means of transportation. And this is specifically a blessing of vehicles. So with our attention and our thoughts out to the parking lot, I will use the abbreviated form because it actually goes about 8 or 9 pages.
Does it change the form?
We need blessing, any blessing God has. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
And there's a blessing for only a priest or deacon, but there's one that a lay minister can use. With one heart and one mind, let us bless the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way and the truth and the life. Blessed be God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And there's a reading from the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, listen to the words of the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way, highway, roadway. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. The word of the Lord. Then this is a psalm response. The response is, guide me, O Lord, in right paths. Guide me, O Lord, in right paths. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In verdant pastures he gives me repose. Besides restful waters he leads me. He refreshes my soul. Guide me, O Lord, in right paths. Even though I walk in a dark valley, I fear no evil. For you are at my side with your rod and your staff that give me courage. Guide me, O Lord, in right paths. You spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Guide me, O Lord, in right paths. Only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come. Guide me, O Lord, in right paths. Let us join together in prayer to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way for us to reach our eternal homeland, saying, Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus, you became one of us and willed to live like us. Grant that with you always at our side, we may walk gladly along the paths of your love. For this we pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Lord Jesus, you went from town to town preaching your gospel and healing the sick. May you still pass along our streets and highways, and with your compassion, give us strength. For this we pray.
Lord, hear our
Lord Jesus, you give us your mother to be her children. Through her intercession, make our journey safe, so that someday we may see you and forever rejoice with you. For this we pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And then this is a blessing on means of transportation, so it could be a bridge, a highway, an airport, a motor vehicle, an airplane, a boat, or a ship. I'm going to use the motor vehicle. So let us all just kind of go to raise our hands to bless our motor vehicles. O powerful God, creator of heaven and earth, in the rich depths of your wisdom, you have empowered us to produce great and beautiful works. Grant, we pray, that those who use these vehicles may travel safely with care for the safety of others. Whether they travel for business or pleasure, let them always find Christ to be the companion of their journey, who lives and reigns forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
And because these are blessings, the lay minister's form is, may the Lord be the guide on our journeys so that we may travel in peace and reach eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
Wonderful blessings of all different kinds in here. Does anyone happen to have a birthday today or within the last few days or the next couple of days? So we will bless you. Blessing on a birthday is very short, but that's from this book, which is all for lay people to be able to use. And this is just for all kinds of amazingly ordinary and spectacular special occasions. Blessings on a birthday. The Lord said to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you. Jeremiah 1:5. So I ask you to all raise your hands in her direction. May God, in whose presence our ancestors walk, bless you. Amen.
Amen.
May God, who has been your shepherd from birth until now, keep you.
Amen. Amen.
May God, who saves you from all harm, give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
There is another blessing. It says blessing on a name's day, like a saint's day. Today is the feast of Saint Fidelis of Sigmaringen. Is anybody named Fidelis here? Didn't think so. Tomorrow is the feast of Saint Mark. And I know we have at least one Mark here. Do we have any other Marks? Would Marcia or Count or what's the female of Mark? Anybody like that? I would say Martha, but there's a special saint for Martha. So
Mark is only male.
Only male. Anybody whose middle name is Mark? Whose confirmation name is?
Am I good enough?
You are good enough. I want to spread the blessings. Well, we do have a Mark. So blessing on a name's day. Tomorrow is the feast of Saint Mark. God of glory, whom we name in many ways, when we brought Mark to your church. Oh, this is actually for a child named Mark. I'll take out the baby parts and just, unless you want to go back to being a child. May Saint Mark ever pray for him. May he guard him so that Mark might overcome all evil and come at last to that place where his name is written in the book of life. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
I did the thing on forgiveness.
Well said. Well said. So, I'd like to close this with a blessing from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 to 26, which we all just read. I don't know if I have the authority to put my hands up over. So in these books, it says the lay minister should keep his hands folded when presiding. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord let his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you kindly and give you peace. Amen.
Amen.
And let's bless our God in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you all. And God bless you.
Thank you, Paul. Great job.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're going to open up to some questions. I know we're getting close to dinner time, so we have to sort of move things around, but I've got time for a couple questions. The one question was, when will the tapes and stuff be available? It's a good question, isn't it? Sometime soon. Sometime soon.
Just leave your name.
Yeah, just leave your name. Okay.
We can talk about that.
Okay. I don't need inventory because it takes me forever to do that. Okay. And my way of doing it was to email up the note. I have not been successful in doing in that. But then I have to make these. I don't have the
equipment.
I'll help you. Okay.
Write your name down. You can get an email if you want.
Yeah, write
email.
Your name down. Name
it may have to be. We're not going to put on the website. or sort of way we could do that, or do we have to get permission? But we may put them into a Dropbox, then you can retrieve them. Because what happens when we send them out attached to an email, your ISP or the internet provider will limit the size of the file. So these files are normally too big and they get rejected.
They don't tell me they're rejected, they just disappear.
Yeah.
Yeah. So okay. So you can either two ways, either put something on the website or we'll send you a email with the URL.
But I need them. If it's not on here,
you won't get it.
Turn it on over and sign your name on that. Is there something that changed?
I just set up a piece of paper around it.
Oh, you did. Oh,
okay. See Mary Jane.
Paper?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to share a quick story about blessings. There was a paper that went around it maybe 10, 15 years ago of blessings for children. You know, just to bless your children. And I shared with a patient at work. And she was real interested. She was, oh, I need that for my kids. So I had gotten a book too. It was a prophecy that would be helped up. But here I gave it to her. And she was so thankful and, you know, was so happy, I think. And here's the kicker. She was a nurse at Planned Parenthood in Middletown. Oh. Like, oh, Lord, just do your thing with those blessings for children. Maybe she'll see that what she's doing with the children there. Oh, so that was so reminded me of that. Like, yes, Lord.
We never know where our stuff goes.
Just to add to Paul's call, I found out that if you pray the rosary, many blessings fall upon you. Like the other day when I was on dinner, the whole mile was over, I was praying the rosary, and there's the high patrol hiding behind the bush. He stayed there. Yeah. Very well protect you on the roadway.
Very good. Jim?
I'd like to ask Paul if there's some appropriate blessings that lay people can give for the beginning of the healing session.
There's blessings for almost everything. It's unbelievable. There are even some generic blessings. I would say it's almost unimaginable that the church has thought of so many things. But we'll look at this table of contents here, and you can actually look through. There is healings for the one I did was for the gathering of people in a service, so that one certainly can be used. The one that I did up there, the first one. There is a lot of healing stuff that goes with the sacraments too that we can do.
But right, another one that we can't,
like anointing a sick and things like that. But I think there is probably a good one.
We use just a simple one, and just not necessarily by the power of the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, receive his healing word. And then we go from there. So, I mean, that's just one simple one that we used in the past, seemed to be very effective. Mm-hmm. And I can write that down for you. There was a question over here somewhere.
No,
yes.
I was
going to
make a comment based on this rosary in the car.
Oh, good.
We were recently going to Florida, and I prayed just to the guardian angel before we left, and on Highway 75 South, a car pulled away from in front of me, and we had a pickup truck head on heading our way.
Oh my!
Like two car lengths ahead, and God saved us.
Oh, Lord. No. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? Any other questions before we break?
I want to say that how many are staying tonight? All right, great. For those of you who are not staying, I just take the sheets off the bed. You don't need to worry about it. And I put the sheets outside the door.
What about pillowcases?
Dave, I thought of something. Are you done with your something then? Or possibly can I say something?
Sure.
I want to first say I do believe in redemptive suffering is essential to the gospel. Just something interesting to note though. Yesterday a lady asked me to meet with her for some spiritual direction. So I drove to Eastgate. She went on to share how she's been having tingling in her body and the doctors can't figure out what it is. And it wakes her up in the middle of the night. It's not neuropathy, nothing. This is a very, very devout woman. And I said to her, have you ever offered your life to be a suffering soul? And she said, yes. And I said, before I become a lector at the church, should I pray about that and ask if it's God's will before I just say, Father, I'm going to be a lector? Should I be a catechist? Should I do anything without asking God, is this your will, before I proceed into it? And she said, well, of course you would do that. And I said, did you ask the Lord? I'm not going to make a blanket statement, okay? I'm not making a blanket statement. I'm just sharing a story that I find interesting. And my experience is, this has happened often when I'm praying with people. Mm-hmm. I'll ask them, have you offered your life as a suffering soul? I mean, we read a lot of saints like that, right? And she said, yes, I have. And I said, ask the Lord right now if that's, listen to the word I'm going to use, ministry. That's a ministry in the body of Christ. You know, you offer up your sufferings while you're going about your day. Sure, I got that down. But to be a suffering soul, that's a ministry that God calls you to. When you read St. Therese or something, you get inspired, and you want to go, yes, Jesus, I'll do it. Well, the enemy, too, hears that, I believe. It can be naivete. And it was really interesting yesterday. I said, I want you to do the will of God. Ask right now. And it's just going to be this simple. You're his daughter. Don't beat it up. Is this my ministry? And yes or no will come to your mind. If I ask my kids a question, they don't have to go through, well, do I have to say it this way or this way? It's simple. Yes or no. Ask right now. She goes, no, I'm not to do. I said, okay, say this at me. In the name of Jesus, Father, I'll do anything for you. I love you. But you haven't called me to this ministry. So I let go of that. And I actually use this word. I renounce that. My gosh, this was constant tingling for 2 years. Doctors didn't know what to do. Done. Immediately.
Amen. Yeah. Father Al's teaching is very clear on that. He basically says that it's chosen by the person, redemptive suffering. It's not associated with a sin at all, and it's done in unconditional love. So, you know, here I got a pill bottle. None of us are talking very good anymore. Pill bottle here. You know, if I take a pill and I could get rid of this redemptive suffering, would I do it? Mm-hmm. You know, if I go to the confession, I get rid of it.
That's a very interesting story. I don't know if you all have heard of Father Michael Gately, but he does these 30 days to Morning Glory. He has another one called 30 Days to Merciful Love. It's from St. Therese. It says a lot of what you just said there, that St. Therese offered herself to be kind of like a soul that would receive all the mercy that people refuse from God. And wow. She would just to receive all that mercy that people did not want. And so I don't remember what the word, some of y'all have read that, we did that before. Whatever that type of soul was that would be a conduit of God's mercy that was rejected by others. Mm-hmm. And so she, pretty much what Father Gately uses, very much what you said, St. Therese said, I want to be a minister of love and mercy.
Amen.
Beautiful book. It's 30 Days of Merciful Love by Father Michael Gately. And it has a 30-day thing. It's based on He has another one about a consecration to Mary, 30 days to morning glory. It's the same type of format. It might be 33 days.
And now there's one to God the Father, too.
Yeah.
Oh, there is?
Yeah, he just wrote one for God the Father.
Oh, wow.
Some of that on mercy, someplace.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Great job.
Paul, you covered a lot of different things here. You talked about Bel and Balak.
Uh-huh.
You know, some of the demonic kings, the gods are not something to go against. Also, the book of Job, you know, everything you need to know is in the first chapter. Job, what he did, he prayed for his children. He overprayed. He overstepped this spiritual authority in such a way that allowed the sick to attack, counterattack. And that's what we need to do. We need to ask God how to pray for individual Baal in order to properly pray for him, because we all made the same mistake when we are. So I said my piece.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Paul, do you mind standing up and taking a picture of those books? Those two blessings.
I'll just do this one.
Catherine's going to take a picture. Okay, so we'll close. Father, we thank you and praise you for this time today, Lord. We ask your anointing fall upon us. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you have given us. May we accept them all in Jesus' name. Amen. So then we'll be back here at 5 o'clock. Five, right? Is that, yeah, about 15, 16, 17 minutes. So we'll set the room up for dinner.
I have a question.
Yes.
So what time do we come back on? My scheduled time is the calendar I was using as far as times is the one on Presentation Ministries website. So you guys have been off a little bit and that's okay. But when do you guys return back on then? Because I'm a little confused by that.
We will not, Susan.
It's like, when do we come?
All the teachings have been done. There was going to be a teaching after dinner, but I believe we made a revision.
They messed up the schedule.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, Susan. Forgive us.
Hi, Susan.
Forgive us, Susan.
I got it. No, that's okay. But is so there's not any more tonight then?
That's no, correct.
Is that correct?
Ending tonight, Susan. There's
not. But just tomorrow.
No, it's ending tomorrow. Everything is ended today. We squeezed all the teachings in.
Okay.
I wanted to.
All right. So somehow get the rest of the teachings I missed then, right?
It is probably two. I'm not sure how many. I'm not sure how many. And maybe part of the other one. Just kind of on the list.
Yeah.
So somehow I can get the teachings later.
We're going to try to just send me out that. Yeah, we'll put you on the list.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you for including me for the parts I got. It was very good. Thank you.
Thanks. God bless.
God bless. God bless.